Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Hello, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I cannot even say Your Partner in Success Radio today. I've been having one of those days. I'm sneezing, coughing, weather change, so just kind of bear with me, and I apologize straight up. So I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with the most interesting business leaders. Now, these are people who have wonderful stories to share about their journeys, how they got where they are now. They are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was cited on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today, it's a fun one, how to become one in a million with Eric R. Brown of Douglas Elliman Hollywood. He joins us to discuss how to generate consistent growth in your business, find the clients you need, the money you need, live the life that you want. Now, Eric Brown wears many, many hats. He's a realtor, a rehabber, an author, a coach, and a TV host. He has been a realty professional for about 20 years and has several unique tools in his bag of tricks. He literally wrote the book on having success in real estate titled One in a Million, Everything You Need to Know to Find the Best Realtor. He also hosted a show in L.A. called American Properties, Think Divers, Drive-Ins. No, I'm sorry. What was that show? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but for houses. So Google him. Google Eric Brown or Google Eric R. Brown, Beverly Hills, and a thing or two may pop up about him and his business. Trust me, he's a fascinating guy. And by the way, today he is giving away a free report on how he made $146,000 in 90 days. So check out the show notes for the link, and I'll ask him to share that link at the end of the podcast. Eric, hello, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
Hello, Denise. So glad to be here.
We have been trying. Just so our audience knows, this is what, our third or fourth shot at this. We've had technical.
It is. You know what, though? Patience is a virtue, as they say.
Telling you, I think this is our fourth try, but we had all kinds of technical issues, and now, bless your heart, I'm so appreciative, you're actually parked in a car, so you can talk with me at this particular time, so thank you for that.
Absolutely, pleasure is mine. I'm excited to have us go back and forth.
Well, here we are. Well, listen, what did I miss in the description, because you have led this fascinating life, but you didn't start out in Hollywood, and I'd like for you to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the Midwest. I'm from Minnesota, and I have, since graduating school, I have been bouncing around in various facets of small business and entrepreneurship, mostly in the realm of real estate. I had purchased and renovated now over 100 properties, but at the time that was my start, where I would buy, fix, and sell, and then parlayed that into various other facets of real estate, managing and maintaining rental property for myself and for other owners, starting a title insurance company, having a general contracting license, and all while also attempting to build a practice of representing home buyers and sellers. So it's been a very interesting ride, and that segued itself. At one point, I decided I wanted to make the jump into a larger market, and so found myself several years ago bouncing to Beverly Hills.
How old were you when you started this?
Right out of college, so 22.
You had to have been fairly young, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 22. And then each phase took, I would say, several years before I would transition into a new facet of real estate. Or there's a lot of symbiosis or connectivity between a lot of those different positions. So you can own rental property and it's still in real estate. So there was a lot of connections between those various businesses.
Well, that makes sense. It's just interesting to me that a Midwest boy would wind up in Hollywood and then bounce over to New York and visit with Douglas Elliman and then bounce back to Hollywood. And it's, I mean, I've watched some of your videos. They are wonderful. I mean, you're so comfortable in front of a camera, and I'm sure that that helps you, you know, find clients and get information out there. Was there any point where you just said, yeah, I don't know if this is really for me. You know, I'm an entrepreneur here. I'm, you know, creating this business, this lifestyle. Did you ever have a point where you thought, oh, this is hard, I'm going to get a job?
Oh, yeah, multiple times. A misnomer in real estate, especially with HGTV and million-dollar listing, you see these gigantic commission checks. And if you look at those compared to an annual salary, it seems like, well, great, I'm just going to jump into real estate and sell some property. And it is much, much more difficult to be able to find clientele, manage the process, understand the nuances of negotiation and a purchase agreement and closing a property, and doing that multiple times over while still carrying the expenses that you have of being involved in a brokerage or being a full-time agent. And so my transition into the Beverly Hills market from Minneapolis, Beverly Hills is anywhere from 6 to 10 times on average the price point, which sounds great in and of itself, but you're absolutely rebuilding a business. And so here in the Los Angeles market, greater Beverly Hills, Hollywood, Los Angeles, there's typically around 70,000 home sales that will happen in a given year, and there's 40,000 real estate agents. So you're looking at 1 to 2 transactions per agent. And so it's breaking into a new market has its own set of challenges. And so when I moved into this marketplace, I had a little deeper pockets, and I was a little bit smarter than when I first got started back in the late 90s. So I thought that it would be relatively easier considering the plan that I had put into place, and that was absolutely not the case. It still took years of building up a solid foundation, but I was able to accelerate a few things based on a few tricks that I had learned along the way.
Are you going to share those with us? Is that part of the foundation and plan?
Of course, I would love
all
to.
All right.
So
I would love it.
Probably
because
I want
my audience to know this is not necessarily the tips that you're going to share with us. They're not necessarily for real estate. They can be used in any business you're in. So whatever it is that y'all doing today, pay attention because there's some wisdom coming at you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your show.
No, absolutely. I appreciate the guidance. So I had learned early this concept that was taught to me by someone much, much smarter than me about the idea of something called ACE, it's an acronym, which stands for authority, celebrity, and expertise. And if you think of any business, be it a auto mechanic to a dentist, they have developed a good practice in their audience. So a dentist might have 500 to 1,000 clients or more that might see them over a year, and they've developed their practice to be the preferred authority and expert in the dental field for their audience. So the same thing can apply in any industry, just like you had said, not just real estate. So I knew coming into a new market where there was going to be 40,000 other competitors that I would have to differentiate, and I would need to develop ACE for myself as fast as I could. And so I looked at the different ways that I would be able to have platforms. And there are many that we would be able to use, but I created a summary version of how I would start to develop an audience. And for me, I knew there were 5 or 6 main ways to be able to reach people. I had decided that those were physical visits, meeting with someone, having coffee, going to a networking event, having an after-dinner party, something where you're face-to-face and can actually meet and discuss with someone. So physical visit was 1. Phone call was 2, having a conversation. Number 3 was email. Number 4 was social media. Number 5 was physical mail. And then you can wrap all those up as well. So those were the 5 main pieces of platforms. And there's other ways that you could communicate. Text message could be your 6th. Some people may still fax. There might be people that use other ways to communicate. I don't personally use a carrier pigeon, but I'm sure they're still around somewhere. I decided on those 5 or 6 main platforms and then developed a method to be able to constantly give value back to my audience as they would lean in. I would give, 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 and then inevitably try and add value back. Just like when you gave the introduction to our conversation, I would like to give back several of the main tips that I used to be able to quickly gain 6 figures in a brand new market. And it was by using some tried and true methods. That one of the owners of our company at one point had said that good process makes good business. And I found that to be the case. You get a good foundation built underneath you. You kind of have the sky's the limit if you keep doing the basic tasks of business.
So systems, how important are they? Because look, I'll be very honest with everybody. When I started my business in 2000, 2001, I didn't have a system in place. What I did, honestly, was I graduated with a computer science degree. I hung up my shingle on Facebook, and I got so busy almost instantly that I had no systems. And a year later, I was going, well, son of a gun. And I had to stop, pause my business just a little bit and create systems because I was running myself ragged. And I was forgetting things that were important. And it was a mess. I'll be very honest. It was a mess. So I'm guessing that you're talking about getting those systems in place and, you know, building them, changing them out as they need to be.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. What you had just described, what you went through completely, though mine was different. I did not have a glut of business in the beginning, so I needed to grow it basically from scratch. And so one of the things that you and I actually have in common is we both use assistantship. We both use virtual assistants. And that was a model that I had started to use years ago. And they allowed me to leverage. I knew that any growth in business either requires a lot of time, a lot of money, or both in developing clientele. So if you're an insurance agent, a financial planner, a mortgage broker, a real estate agent, any of these businesses, I'm a service-based business instead of selling a product. I'm not selling cars or T-shirts. So I am the product. And so I knew that I needed to leverage as much of my time as I could to be able to get myself as the product in front of who I could deem to be my potential audience. And so I reached out in many different formats, and different types of businesses will have different ways that they can reach out. I picked 3 or 4 platforms. I chose early in my move to utilize social media, that I was going to start broadcasting and create, in essence, a brown channel. So if someone goes to Instagram or YouTube or Facebook and we have connected, they'll now start to see content from me on those stations. So at one point, there used to be just ABC, NBC, CBS. That's going to totally date me when I say that at one point, television turned off in the middle of the night. It would just go to static. Now there's a station for everything that you can think of.
True. You'd wake up at 1 in the morning and say, what noise? It was spooky.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so now social media, if you look at the volume of people that tune in to Facebook, and if you consider that, change your mind frame a little bit of it's a station. People have tuned in to the station of Facebook or to Instagram or to YouTube or to Twitter, etc. I broadcast my content, which I hope is valuable and someone would want to tune into it. So I give X amount of content every day on all of those platforms and create a theme or a story that people can follow along that is, in essence, luxury real estate related. That's the channel that they would tune into. Just like someone could tune into the Food Network or HBO, they can tune into Eric Brown. That was one platform that I decided to use early, and it was a long game. I knew that I would need to build up an audience, but once an audience would be built, I would have fans that would then tune in. I also utilized the physical visits. I did networking events, but then I would pull people into my offline community, which would be mailing and events and other networking events where I would continue to be able to stay in touch. My third thing that I did, and this is amongst many, we could go ad nauseum to any of these topics, but to cover the 10,000 foot overview, the third one that I did was I tried to really give back to other business owners where we would be able to refer back and forth. So I had a goal in my first year to give 50 referrals to other business owners from the dog walker all the way to the insurance agent. And then each year that would grow. So this year, as an example, I look to give over 250 referrals to other businesses, with generally the benefit of that is good karma will kick in, or as I have been told, the giver's gain, where I start to give business to other people and they will lean back and see the service that I can provide to their clientele and they will do the same. And those three big tools of social media, physical connection with people, and being able to provide referrals back and forth grew me very quickly.
And see, Eric, what you just said about the, you know, referring other people, I've always done that. If I had a brick and mortar business, which I did for a while, you know, I had a small antique business with a jewelry store attached, and somebody would come in, let's say from Beaumont, Texas, and they were looking for an Old Cypress Grand Manger, which is basically an Old Cypress food cupboard. And I probably wouldn't have it, but I knew somebody down the street did. So I'd pick up the phone and say, do you have this item? You know, do you know of anybody who does? And I would send my customer, potential customer, down the road. And I have to tell you, Eric, it startled the heck out of people. Did you find that that happened when you first started doing that? I mean, once they all got in the swing of things, they're like, oh, this works. But nobody had done it until I said, well, this is ridiculous. This guy's coming from Beaumont. I'm not going to hold him hostage.
You hit the nail on the head. It is a very different way to work. And a lot of people will think about their business and focus on their time and what they need. But when you really build your network and start focusing on all of the other individuals that not only would be able to receive assistantship from you providing business to them, you've also developed additional raving fans that have their whole network
right.
of people. They somewhat work like a gatekeeper. So you have that one dentist and their 500 to 1,000 clients, and the dentist speaks highly of you. Imagine how many times that dentist is in front of someone who's in a chair. And if any of those people say, what's new, and they say, I'm looking to buy or sell a home, I think that that dentist might think of me.
Exactly. And when I met resistance back in the day, and I'm glad to say it didn't last that long, but I'm willing to bet that you met up with some resistance as well. I think it might just be human nature. But the way that we're operating now in the know, like, and trust economy, I think it's the best thing you can do. It would feel like you're giving business away, but in essence, you're playing a long game, aren't you?
Absolutely. And when you had said earlier, Denise, about the idea of people are floored by it, multiple ways. As a brief, for example, there are different professions, an attorney, like I said, an insurance provider, where I have referred them multiple times, but I also endorse that referral by giving more value on top of that. I don't just give the referral. I'll check in and see how it's going with the client I referred. I'll ask if there's more that I can do to make the lawyer or the insurance agent look good in front of the client that I referred so they can get more referrals from the client. I will also give them value additions of extra benefits that they might be able to give to their extra clientele. For example, for me, I might offer to do an annual review of someone's property for free. It would be like an appraisal that would have a cost, but I'll do it to them as a benefit of their business. I keep doubling down on the potential success that I offer to that attorney or that insurance agent, and then they start to see more value. And I will digress slightly. Occasionally, you will run into people that don't. They are generally takers. And at that point, I make a decision on if I want to continue to find them or find someone who mirrors my philosophy. And it's just, I consider the people that I had referred to as a cost of doing business. It's like research and development.
This is true. I'm finding, though, that most people now are like, really? You would do that? Just as an example, when we get off the podcast, I always call my guests and say, thank you, that was great. Sometimes I invite them back if we didn't get everything done in the 60 minutes that we have together. And I always, always, always say, listen, is there anything that you have going on that you want me to share with my audience? Do you have a book launch? Do you have? And I have heard, and I find this sad, Eric, almost always I hear, really? Nobody else has asked me that. You've got to be kidding me. It's just a natural progression of business, I think, and building relationships. So I love that you have the same philosophy.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I really like the relationship analogy. Because oftentimes when I'm describing this to either other people that are in my industry or wanting to grow their business, and I'm sharing tips with them, I will use the example of it's a lot like dating. So when I do make that referral or that first connection and ask about referrals, I think of it a lot like a first date or an internet connection. So if someone is, I say this, I have two younger brothers and both of them married fantastic women and they both met online. So now, today's day and age, with however you swipe, with whatever platform it is that someone is using, internet dating is a great analogy because my virtual assistant or my team may cold call a potential referral partner, and it's a lot like swiping left or right. They don't know me or my team from Adam. They don't know the value that we can provide, and we have to prove that over the course of several dates until hopefully they want to date us seriously or marry us in a business sense. And when that happens, that just takes time. Relationships take time to build. If someone thinks about their best friends or people that they've known since growing up or even family members, you build those relationships over time. But the benefit is once the relationship is really built, you're on some really solid footing and you can leverage so well.
Absolutely. And I have a friend, she's been a guest on my show, Meredith Bell, and she doesn't have a podcast, believe it or not, but she is one of the best referral partners. And she's in a completely different business. We don't have competing businesses of any description. But she's got this magic invisible Rolodex, and she shares it. She's so generous with this. And I will, you know, call her up and say, you know, I need this kind of guest. Do you have anybody? And she's, oh, yeah. She's got this Excel spreadsheet that she knows who she referred, why she referred them, what show they were on, what, you know, what event kind of took place. It's amazing. I mean, she's so well organized, but she loves to connect people. And I'm telling you, there's nobody better. If I could get a hold of her spreadsheet, blank. You know, just give me the blank one so I could kind of, you know, keep up with my own. I would pay big money for that. In fact, I'm going to have to ask her again. Can I have that spreadsheet?
That is a great example. It goes back to what we said about before of good process makes good business. She has a good system in place to be able to manage all of that. Judy Robinette, I think, is the name of an author that wrote a book called Power Connectors. And she said that you can handle around 150 relationships at any given time that you can manage on your own without platforms or system and really maintain those relationships. So you may have thousands of Facebook friends, but how many of those are really friends and really connected? So the process that you just described with the Excel spreadsheet helps manage some of those relationships that may be tiered. We might see 5 to 10 people in a week consistently, every week or every day, family members, really close friends, close coworkers. But as you get to start extend that relationship to referral partners, key clientele, et cetera, it starts to get bigger, inevitably where it becomes much, much more difficult to manage. So having a good system like we had described before or this spreadsheet is really great. You had also touched about with both your friend and yourself, it sounds as if you do this inherently. For me, I have to confess, it was a learned activity. So I kind of gave referrals, but I wasn't doing it as consistently. I had to teach myself the process and the languaging around when I would give, or even to educate my referral partners to say, here are some of the things I would love to receive back, if that is a possibility. I'm looking at developing a partnership and setting those expectations up front was also a critical step in making this a really fruitful and profitable way to do business.
See, I didn't even think about having to work with people that you are referring and, you know, kind of being the, you know, give them the big picture overview. I never even thought of that. You know, can you give me some examples? Because I think that is brilliant.
Yeah, of a big picture overview of how to refer back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never done it and you're uncomfortable with it and you don't really have a system or, you know, here's my emails and here's some things that I'm thinking about, let's have this conversation about this. And I'm guilty of this, and I guess that's why I'm so fascinated, because I will say, okay, in fact, I actually was taking notes. I want to refer you to a couple of people who live in your area just to meet. One of them happens to be the publicist for the Academy Awards. I think you guys would get along great. And as soon as we're done, I will get with them and see if they want to be introduced and see what you do and make the introductions. But I guess I may be guilty of this. I rather fear that I am, that I will just kind of make these introductions, say, hey, here you go, make magic, and off I go. And I don't really follow up. So teach me. I'm wanting to learn.
Yeah, this is great. So again, some of this is succeed by trial or a little bit of trial and error. But the method with which I have created it seems to now all of the things that we're talking about as well, these aren't items that I have just practiced in the past week or two. These are things that I'll have done for the past year or years. So as an example, my front end foundation was I established my elevator pitch. What are the things that make me different? And you announced some of them at the beginning of our call, which is great. Thank you. And then I also tell people I will ask them for theirs. What makes you different, insurance agent or attorney? So when I meet people, I can say, oh, you're an entertainment attorney, or you are a property casualty insurance professional. Those are different than other types. So I know how to tune in to your network. I also will ask, who are the ideal types of people to meet? So for me, it's easy to say home buyers and sellers, but it might also be developers. It might be builders. It might be people that are symmetrical to my industry. That could be insurance agents, moving companies, interior designers, stagers. We all work the same clientele, and we can cross
market. Cleaning companies.
We can cleaning companies. But my list is gigantic, as are any other business. People can find dozens and dozens of different options of businesses that will love to work with their clientele or their audience. And once they have done that, I start to put them within my system where I can become top of mind. You'll probably be able to tell, Denise, by the course of this conversation, occasionally I can be number nerdy. And so a great example of that is
MIT nerd, you know,
study.
This.
I love it. And I love to geek out over the number stuff, too. So some people will absolutely lose their mind over the numbers, but I love to geek out. So hopefully your audience can bear with me just for a brief digression. There was an MIT study done at one point that said buyers will make a buying decision somewhere between the 5th and 12th impression. So a really good example of that is on the radio, if you hear, so if you would like to buy now, call 1-800-555, that's 1234, call 1-800, and they keep going. They say the number over and over again. That's because you'll hear that radio commercial
if
you're listening to the station.
Is that why they do it?
Absolutely.
I thought it was
they
just because they figured you didn't have a pen and you weren't going to remember it, which I don't ever.
It's all conceptual. So the more that they can have you tune in to the message, the better. And so I know that I need to get impressions in front of my audience. So here is getting back to your original question of how do you manage a referral process system? I picked a Dream 100. So it was, and this took a few years to build, but I picked 100 different either vendors or key business owners that they would be in front of the audience I would want to be in front of. One of them is an insurance agent that manages a very, very high-end, globally known electronica DJ here in the United States. I would love to represent that insurance agent's clientele as well. Another one is a president of a talent agency here in Beverly Hills. I would love to meet his clientele. And so these people, these 100 people, I try and provide them value once or twice a month via all those platforms that I mentioned. Letters, phone calls, invite to things, text messages, and not it being salesy, but literally providing them with some value that would work for them or their business. And then from there, once I get to connect with them and we start that quote-unquote dating process, I will start referring to them and asking if there's more that I can do. And I have, just like your friend does, I have a spreadsheet of referrals that is within my database. And then once a quarter, my assistant will look at all the referrals that have happened and will scrub through them. So she will call or email and check in on the people and say, how did it go with Nancy or Tommy or Billy or Sally, those referrals that Eric had provided last quarter, and check in. And the beautiful part of this is they will let us know how it's going, and we will continue to ask, what else can we do for you? At some point, it will seem to that new person, our goal is for them to understand we are a free salesperson for their business. We provide them with value. We're a resource to their clientele. And we're good people that are doing ethical work. All of those values will inevitably, hopefully, crossing fingers, make more and more of that dream 100 want to lean back and do that same thing for me. And the outside pie in the sky dream for me is if I'm doing that for 100 people, I'll have 100 people doing that for me. And now my business should and does grow exponentially.
And see, that is pure logic to me. I mean, it makes absolute sense. And I'm always a little bit puzzled when people hold their cards very tightly to their chest and they're not going to share. It's like, nope, this is my deck of cards. I'm not sharing. Go away. And it just, it's not logical to me. Maybe I am, you know, too nerdy about it. But to me, the more people you can get to say, oh man, Eric just, you know, he introduced me to this really great person. I haven't really done anything for him yet, but you know what? He's on my radar. I'm going to look for opportunities. That's just nature.
It is. There was actually a professor and a, forgive me, I think he is a psychologist by the name of Dr. Robert Cialdini that has done decades of study on the concept of influence. And he created or came up with the idea of there's various laws to influence. One of those laws is the law of reciprocity. If you receive something,
right,
inherently we feel a desire to want to give back to that person. So if someone, we go out for happy hour, Denise, and I buy the first round of drinks. If we have a second round, you might feel something to want to buy the second round or vice versa.
Well, yeah, right.
And it's the same thing here with the referral concept. And there's ways that we can somewhat stack the deck. We can have certain conversations with people that will help highlight some of the value that we provide because they may not see it. They're involved in their business. And if we want to accelerate that process a little bit, there's conversations that we can have or methods with which we can provide value but still highlight the value that we're providing to them.
Now, do you have any examples or a case study?
I do, actually. Thanks for asking that.
All right,
go. So this one's a recent one, actually within the past 7 months. I was doing, to use the current example, I was doing happy hours where I would invite people in my database to come to happy hour just to socialize. And I started to expand each time I try and find a way to be able to tweak a method. There's a Japanese word called Kaizen, which is baby steps. And you keep adding one thing, and inevitably that small thing will start to have a butterfly effect because it will expand upon itself. So this happy hour went from happy hour just by itself to me making some phone calls and inviting some people, to having them invite people, to posting on social media little videos inviting people, to some of the people that came being other business owners that said, should we make this more regular than you just doing it on the fly? And we actually turned it into a referral group. Not dissimilar to the groups like
B&I
or Grapevine,
right,
or LaKip.
Right.
So we have the Beverly Hills referral group, and currently about 15 to 20 business owners will meet once a week and will exchange referrals, value-add concepts, problems that we're having with our business, and you now have a group of 15 to 20 other business owners that will help you problem solve or will be your sales force and help refer people to you. Will help you work through challenges, and will invite other business owners to this group. And inevitably, it starts to take some legs on its own.
And you've really got an unofficial mastermind going on there, too.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. It's been a great system. And I don't want to gloss this over. It's not all rainbows and a pot of gold at the end. There are a process where some people will say this is too much work and they will come to a couple of meetings and not come back. Or people will come and will show up and not refer. There's an absolute process involved. But if you can get a few raving fans in the beginning, that can help you leverage. Not dissimilar to the concept of the virtual assistants. I'm very fortunate in that I had 5 or 6 people lean in really early. And we broke up several pieces that would help manage the group. One person is in charge of connecting with all the new guests that come in and tries to help them decide if it makes sense for them to become a member. Another person tracks everything in spreadsheets and decides who sets up the speaker schedule for the week. Another person creates some of our content, like if we have a website or a Facebook or invites to the happy hours that we still have. So it's many hands make light work. Sometimes it takes a village.
It sounds fascinating. So, and I'm seeing dollar signs, I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, man, who is paying for this? But I'm assuming over time you created kind of a, okay, here's the kitty. Everybody put in their $10 or whatever it is.
Yeah, you can go multiple ways. So a lot of the organic groups will have dues, and then you can have it be where there's, you know, no coffee, no donuts, no breakfast, no anything, and just do it based on everyone wanting to attend based on the value of the group. So there's lots of ways to be able to. But it's one that, to your point, it's one that's worked really well.
Oh, it sounds like it would. I love a good mastermind. I mean, there's nothing better. Look, I'm an introvert. You know this. I'm happiest all by myself. But some of the best information I've ever gotten, some of the best guidance I've ever gotten is by masterminding with a few select people, you know, people that really push and challenge me, people that make me go, oh God, I never thought of that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And outside of this group, I still have the individuals in my world that have been mentors or have spent a day in my shoes, so to speak. And it's always to be able to leverage the more intelligent people before me. Yeah, I use that as much as I can, and it's been great. And this group does work like that because I also get different perspectives. So I'm able to hear what the general contractor or the architect or the interior designer or the IT guy or the motivational speaker, all of our businesses generally have the same crux. We're looking at developing a lifestyle. We're looking at providing good for our clientele. We're looking at meeting more clientele. And just because we have different practices doesn't mean that we don't have the same end goals. So it's nice to be able to kind of cross-pollinate with the different tools that we use. I like it a lot.
That's a good way to say it, cross-pollinate. I mean, that's brilliant. So what are some of your tools of the trade? I mean, you're using, and let me interrupt myself a bit here. I wanted to go back to something you said about when you developed your channel, your Eric Brown channel, your social media. One of the things that I see, because I am a social media manager, people, and this drives me nuts. I mean, my teeth will snap together. One day I'm telling you I'll have to go to the dentist. But somebody, instead of doing like you have done, just giving a lot of information, educating your audience on just all kinds of different things, not just you, not just sell, sell, sell. And unfortunately, a lot of people come into social media and it's all about them. And, you know, you'll say, okay, we'll be friends on Facebook. And 10 minutes later, you haven't had coffee, but they're asking you to the prom. They're asking, you know, they're putting stuff on your page, which is like putting a billboard in my living room. I will smack you for that. So what you're talking about in the very beginning was giving great value in return for people paying attention to you. I wish more people understood that concept. It'll get you, it will grow legs. It'll get you where you want to go.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. You had mentioned mentors before, and there's this concept of 10,000 hours makes mastery. I think it was in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. And however you want to look at you being able to be really successful in some space. So though I am a real estate professional, in essence, I also want to master social media for my real estate work. But really, that's a totally separate business. It's not real estate. It's social media, which is very, very different. Because of that, I know that I still need to put in my hours. And so I do leverage the smarter people before me. And the way that I'm able to accelerate my hours is I will do or listen to podcasts. I typically listen to them during the work week early in the morning as I'm just getting started with my day. One of those podcasts that I may listen to or pagers that I turn into is I have in the past listened to Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary talks about the idea in the use of social media of one of his terms is give, 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 ask. So it's 3-to-1. So you're giving
right.
Something of value, be it content, be it some call to action that you can give, a free market analysis, a free breakdown of your financial plan, a free cleaning at the dentist, whatever it might be, you're providing value. And inevitably, you can ask people to do something as they've leaned in to see how much that you are giving. So just like the law of reciprocity that we talked about with referrals, it's the same thing here. You're giving over and over again before I make an ask, and my ask might be subscribe to my Instagram page. Tune in to my YouTube channel to see the sneak peek luxury home tours that I do. So it's still the ask that I'm doing is still providing value. It's just asking them to take one baby step, jump in a little bit more. And when they take that step, I will give more. And then I will ask them other things. So my whole pipeline from, if you think of the way a client is acquired, from cold audience to lead to appointment to meeting to client to closing, they become a client of yours. Each one of those phases in and of itself is really important, but I think the real gold is in between. I think it's in the middle. So in between lead and appointment, or in between client and closing, that's where you're able to differentiate. And there's piles of differentiators that I could share with you, Denise.
Oh, please do. I have to tell you real quick, we have good 4th of July is coming up, and I have no intentions of selling my home. I love it, and I'm settled here. But there's a realtor that every year, he started this 2 or 3 years ago, and I wake up 4th of July morning, and I run to the front to see if my little flag is out there at my mailbox. He goes out, mm-hmm. and he buys hundreds of little American flags. He, you know, puts a split in his business card, and he runs the little stick through the split, and he hits every mailbox down the street. And I go outside with my camera, and I'm looking at all these little flags waving. I love this guy. I really do. When and if I sell my house, guess where I'm going? I'm going to him. I kept his card. I've never met him. I've never seen him, but I've got his card.
I love it. He's top of mind. And that's, again, he was
exactly.
able to do what the radio ad did with the phone numbers. So his, instead of it being phone numbers on a radio ad, it's flags. And it's the other things that he will do in your neighborhood. We have an agent in our office that is a 7-figure agent by doing that method amongst others in what is called his farm area, his geography. And he works this one particular area, and he's been doing it for a while now, and he has a 7-figure business because of it, just in that little area. So he has developed ACE, authority, celebrity, and expertise in his neighborhood. And he doesn't need it in the country or in the state or even in the city. He just has it in that neighborhood.
You know, it's very smart thinking. I mean, the first year I saw this, I thought, oh, that is so sweet. And, you know, everybody loved their little flags. They stayed up until they just got raggedy, and then the yard crews would pick them up and throw them away. But I went, that's nice. So I ran out and I grabbed it, and I found him on Facebook. And I went to his Facebook page, and I said, thank you so much. Because I thought it was a very nice thing to do. Now, if they're not out there this year, I'm telling you, I'm going to be heartbroken. I will be disappointed. I'm going to race to the front door and look for them. But it's just one of those memorable little actions. And, you know, he didn't have to do it, but he does it. So I think it's smart marketing, but I also think it shows a lot of heart.
I agree. And that's a great, I'm sure it is very intentional, both from a practical sense, but also it speaks
to who
that realtor is as a person, the fact that he or she would want to go through that. I love it.
Exactly. So, you know, and I don't know how many of these he did. I actually, you could think I'm a nut, but I said, okay, you know, our neighborhood was here first. We had sugarcane fields around us, and then they started mowing those down, and houses started going up behind me, and now they're off to the front of me, you know, about a mile down. And I needed to know. I wanted to know if we were special. So I walked to the back neighborhood, and they didn't have flags. Nay.
I love it.
I don't know why I thought that was important. That was just me being an idiot, but yeah, I got a good walk out of it.
Well, this is great. This segues really well into the idea of what are some of the tips of the gold nuggets on the in-between. So let's take your neighborhood realtor as an example. And I'm going to do a little bit of guesswork here, but from lead to appointment. So as of right now, you have gone from being someone that doesn't know this agent at all to now you've responded on Facebook. You've reached out. And so he now has you in
somewhat in his world, in his audience,
He's
tuned into the station that is this agent.
Yeah, every year I go tell him thank you.
Yeah, so that's, imagine if that conversation happens times 50 or 100 or 500 people. If he's done that, he's now converted 50 or 100 or 500 leads, people that are now in his world and have tuned in. Now, of those 500, he might have an opportunity to provide more value. Maybe it is a newsletter that goes out. Maybe it's an invite to a client appreciation party. He might do something en masse. Now you will become a warm lead that might consider at some point referring to him, or 1 year to 10 years to 20 years from now, if you think about selling, you might make a phone call to that agent. Now he has an opportunity to set an appointment and he can double down again. So he can do extra things. One of my examples, when someone sets an appointment with me and they have been pre-qualified, in essence, we've asked a series of questions. What's their time frame? What are their goals, etc.? I will double down again by providing what I refer to as my shock and awe package. And they will get a package in the mail that is extra gifting. For me, it is a high-end pen with a stylus. It's a leather binder. It's a notepad. It's a CD of me being interviewed, describing what you should look for in a good agent. Not at all self-serving, just here are some tips to think about. It's a guide about the buying or the selling process. And then I also include some See's candy, which is signature to Los Angeles from the 1920s. And that all gets either FedExed or delivered to them before we've even met. And so the likelihood of them thinking, wow, this agent is sending this out to me, I'm excited to meet them. And that may not happen with everyone, but it happens with more often than not. And that helps me take them to the next step. I keep trying to guide people into the next step, inevitably, where I can work with them on their goals.
See's candy, really? That's all
See's
I heard.
Candy.
And the thing is, I don't... And the reason I said, I don't like candy and I don't like chocolate. I hate shopping, but I am a girl, I promise. But my mother, years ago, she lives in, my whole family's in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she bought some very dark chocolate from See's 1 year. And she said, okay, try this. And I went, oh, now that I like. So every year I get a box of See's candies, the dark chocolate with nuts, from my mother for Christmas.
Otherwise, I never touch
this stuff, ever. I don't like chocolate, but I like their chocolate, if it's dark.
I love it. My stomach, my expanding waistline doesn't love it, so I need to really manage my intake, but otherwise it's great. And it's very, here in this market, the reason that I picked that is there's a number of people that will look at Beverly Hills or Los Angeles and be from out of state or out of country. And so I want to give them a little piece of Los Angeles.
That makes sense. Here you get crawfish. That's about it.
Oh,
come on over. I'll make you a gumbo.
Count me in.
I love gumbo. Next time you're down in this area, you call me. I'll cook.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the tips.
I love that. So do you do this for every client, or are you doing this for clients that you feel pretty good that they're going to kind of follow through with you? How do you make those determinations?
Again, I not to sound like a broken record, good process makes good business. So each step that they go through is, imagine it being a door into the home. So someone isn't invited to your dining room or your kitchen table right away. At first, it's an invite into your yard. Then it's an invite through the front door into the foyer. Then it's an invite in past the living room into the intimate space wherever you're meeting. Each of those phases for me, someone has to qualify themselves. So they have to lean in and reach out on email, find me on Facebook, connect on Instagram, respond to a letter. Some level of connecting, and that gets them into the yard. At that point, now I'll start reaching out to them with, like I gave the example of your neighborhood agent, a newsletter or a video email directly to them, an invite to something. Now they're invited into the front door. And if they say, oh, great, I'm good, I'm ready to go back outside, they don't go to the dining room. They don't come to the kitchen. They just go back outside.
So they haven't qualified themselves.
They don't get the chocolate. Exactly.
Man, they don't know what they're missing.
They don't. But that's, I try and make a celebratory moment each phase of the way. And if they're ready for it, they get to have the next experience.
Now, are you teaching this to people? It seems to me like you ought to build some kind of a course for people, because this would work. Just the thought process, the steps that you're taking with people, seems to me that that's very good advice for just about anybody who's in business who is trying to attract clients, not consumers, clients, different thing.
Yeah, funny that you bring that up. So as of right now, I have it, and you are absolutely right. All of these methods could be spread across many different business industries. I have one right now, which is the value add that I had shared with you, the becomethebestagent.com, is my full business in a box. And it is, I would guess it's somewhere between 10 and 20,000 hours of trial and error and system builds, all the checklists, scripts, processes, tools I used, everything. I've put into a structure, and it's module-based that someone can either go through webinars or they can coach with me directly. And I do have that built, and it's the system that I have used to build a profitable business in two different markets and sell over 600 homes and over 100 renovation projects and build a couple of teams. And this is one way that I'm able to kind of give back to the greater community by able to teach the method that has done right by me.
And I'm glad you're doing that, because it's one thing to say, okay, do this and do this. We all hear that. We hear it from the gurus. We hear it from mentors. We hear it from our coaches. Like, okay, Denise, just go do this and everything is going to be fine. No, it's not. You gave me step A, but you didn't give me step, Z. Where's the rest of it? I need to know where the rest of it is. So it sounds like, sorry, my cat is grabbing my headphone. He's my office assistant. Sorry about that.
I love it.
I smacked him. I hope you didn't hear me smack him. Dude, don't. I wasn't talking to you, Eric. Sorry. He's a bad guy. But, here's the thing, and I lost my train of thought, so bear with me a second. If people could understand, as you clearly do, because you've put the time in, you've built something pretty spectacular, that you can't just say, okay, I'm going to put this down on paper, I'm going to make this many dollars in this many months, and I've got a plan. Those don't work. Ask me how I know. Those don't work. You have to actually do the slogging through the ditch and falling down on your face and getting great advice and sharing your journey to get to the other end. You can't just say, okay, I've got this spreadsheet, I'm going to make $100,000 by November. No, you're not. Trust me on this. You're not. You just have not. You haven't given yourself room to work. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me.
Yeah. No, you're spot on. I refer to that as failing forward. The faster that you can fail, you've in essence learned how not to do something. Thomas Edison at one point, if you've ever heard this story, had tried to make the light bulb and had
10,000 times or something?
Yeah,
right.
Thousands of times, different filaments, different glass, different conductors. And a reporter got wind of it and approached him and said, I've heard that you found thousands of ways that you failed in making the light bulb. And he said, no, that's not true. I have found 5,000 ways not to make light. And it's a funny play on words, but it's just a difference of perspective in that he was able to check another thing off the box where he felt it got him that much closer. And so I have my 10, 20,000 plus hours in, and we had talked about mentors, and not that I would consider myself to be a guru by any means, but I do have the hours in that if someone doesn't have them or wants a different perspective, why go through 10,000 hours? Why not just learn from someone else? Why not get those systems? And that's what I'd love to be able to offer.
Right. Listen, you've got a book. I told you, this is the quickest 60 minutes on the internet. We've only got about 6 minutes left. What did we miss?
Life.
I know we wanted to. I told you. You have a book, The Pen. Right. The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah. So the book is called One in a Million. And it was the genesis of that book was there's somewhere between a million and a million and a half realtors in the country, and how do you pick a good one? And you could say that same thing about any industry. And so I break out within this book the methods to find a good professional in something.
and what are the things that you should look for? What are the telltale signs? And particularly in certain industries, these are really big decisions. If someone is buying a $100,000 home or a $100 million home, you're talking about making a very big lifestyle decision. And beyond working with a family member or someone that you have heard about that you don't know anything about their business, if you're making a big lifestyle decision like buying or selling a home, you should have someone in your corner that you know is going to do right by you and be very successful. And it's the same thing in any other industry. I don't necessarily want someone working on my molars if they're not a good dentist. And with any other practice, we could say the same thing. So that's what One in the Million is geared for. And that was another way that I wanted to be able to not only, A, give back to my greater audience. That's another one of the tools that I will give to people. But I also use that as a way to connect with other prospects. And it does give me that idea of ACE, authority, celebrity, and expertise. Someone who has written a book usually has put in the time to learn how to write a book and the knowledge that goes into those pages.
Okay, I lost you a bit there. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, you broke up just a little bit there. But I don't think we lost too much. I have to ask you, you know, people who are very successful, who are clearly in love with the life that they're leading, the business that they've created, do you have any kind of success, or is that word? What is wrong with me today? Success practices or rituals that you do without fail that, you know, kind of get you moving?
Yeah, the first two, I mean, there's many, I'm sure. The first two that pop in my mind is just do it. It's not to steal from Nike, but the idea of massive action. I don't get in my own way. We use social media before as an example, and I just started. When I finally set my mind to this is a tool that I am going to use, in the beginning, I was terrible. I heard some of the people that would respond would say, Eric, I really liked the last video that you took of a home, but you pointed the camera at the ceiling the whole time. Or you didn't have your microphone
like
turned
that.
On. These were the problems. But I just kept working through it. I just decided that those were my ways to fail forward, like our Edison example. And so that was number one. And then number two was I time blocked. So all of these ideas are great in and of themselves. But you can't, there's 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. And so I picked the things that were most important, and I blocked them out. And some of those things that might be important might be physical fitness or health or spending time with your family or taking vacations. Those things get blocked out on my calendar. I set an appointment with myself to go to the gym, and then I know I don't break that appointment. And if I do, if something really major pops up, I move the appointment. But I still have the things that I consistently do day in and day out.
And I think that's what makes people who are successful get more successful, because we prioritize. Goals are, you know, not something that we just go, oh, that's nice. It's just a really fuzzy dream, but I'll get there. Yeah, I'm like you. I do what I call, what do I call it? You know, when I sit down at my desk, because I'm, you know, web developer and I do a lot of technical work, I do time blocking, but I have a different phrase for it. Of course, now I can't think what the heck it is. But I will sit down and I will literally tell myself, okay, and I'll say it out loud. You know, I'll say it out loud so I can hear it, the universe can hear it, anybody who wants to hear it can hear it. And I'll say, okay, Denise, for the next half hour, you are going to work on this section of this website. You're not answering the phone. You're not looking at email. Focus, focus, focus. And it works because I have now set it out. I'm not giving myself any wiggle worm room. And 30 minutes later, I look up and go, man, I got a lot of stuff done. But then it's time to get up, walk outside, take a deep breath, stretch, and then, you know, come back and start that whole, you know, time blocking again. It does work. It's very, very effective.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's a foundational tool.
It is. It very much is. Listen, we've got about 60 seconds. Where can people find the report that you had mentioned? And after you get through giving us that link, tell us where we can find you on the web. I know you've got a couple of websites.
Yes, thank you for that. So the free report is
how I made $146,000 in 90 days and the best systems that I used. We touched briefly on a few here, but I get into the nitty-gritty at the website is becomethebestagent.com. And again, you can apply it to multiple different types of business, but there's a free guide there of some of the best tools that I used. And then my regular website, where you can find me as a real estate professional, is at ericrbrown.com. Eric is with a K, R is like my middle initial, and then Brown, just like the color, .com.
Excellent. I'm so glad we finally managed to do this. There came a point where I thought, this isn't going to happen. We're cursed. But here we are. We did it. We got all the way through it. And listen, do me a favor. I know you're on the road. You need to get to where you're going. But when you have a moment, call me because I have some introductions that I really want to make to you.
Oh, I love it.
Good. All right. Well, listen, everybody, look for us. Eric, thank you. It has been a genuine pleasure speaking with you again. And I thank you for all the wonderful tips and the advice. And I'm going to go download that document right now. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio. Oh, I said it right that time. And take us along on your success journey. Eric, thank you so much.
Me as well, Denise. Looking forward to connecting again.
Definitely.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.